Good morning and welcome to the Heart of Christ Church, for we know God is good and all the time. We also know and hold to the truth that God has called His church with three commands through His Son, our Savior Jesus the Christ, that we are to love God, love others, and go with the gospel of Jesus into this world. And as we hold to these three truths, loving God means that we follow all that He has committed to us. Amen? And by that, then, He has commanded us to go. For we are to love others with the very same commands that He has commanded unto us and take those commands into this world. So as we walk in that truth, may we remember that simply because it's a new year doesn't mean we get to stop. For now we need to understand this is the time to press on. This is not a time to sit on our laurels and think we have arrived. How many of you have arrived yet? I didn't get to eternity yet, so I have not arrived. And even when I get there, God's going to continue to work on me for eternity. And what a day that will be. So today, I've entitled the sermon, Don't Stop, Keep Going to the End. Why would I say such a thing? Well, in just a few short days, 15 days to be exact, we are going to have a new president in the United States, and he's going to fix everything. Wrong chicken. You know, it amazes me how we as human beings see things. And it's like, we'll fight. We'll push this thing. We'll do whatever. And then once we get to what we consider the end, we're like, okay, now I can sit down and let somebody else do it. Can anybody show me in the scriptures where it says that? It really doesn't. In fact, it says quite the opposite. And that's what we're going to deal with today. Because so many people have thought, I've fought the good fight. I've finished the race. Whoa, wait. That's where we got to stop. Paul said, I have finished the race. What was in store for him? Death. He knew that. Paul was getting ready to be assassinated. He was getting ready to be killed by Rome. How many of us are getting killed tomorrow? Exactly. You're doing exactly what I need you to do. I have no idea. So do we stop? No, we are not allowed to stop. We are to continue on unto the end. That's the way it works. We don't know when our end is. But what we do know is if we hang on to the end, who's there to meet us on the other side? And that's the praise and the glory that we all need to understand. So today, I want you to think about that as we enter in to some of the truths that we must hold to as we look at this new year and understanding we are not to stop. We are nowhere near finished. There's a whole lot more to go. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Judges. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Judges. Judges. The book of Judges. We're going to be in Judges chapter 1. Judges chapter 1. Now, I've got a lot of scripture that we're going to be reading today, so I doubt whether I'm going to get through this sermon today. It's going to be a two-part sermon. And for those of you out there on internet land, you need to understand, next week we won't be in our normal abode. We will be at St. John's Church in Jonestown, where we are looking to assume the church up there and bring that church into the heart of Christ. Can I get an amen, church? And in that, we're going to get to meet them and they're going to get to meet us, and hopefully this merger of types will come together and the church will grow. Can I get an amen, church? Because we aren't done. There's still more for us to do. And that includes moving where God wants us to move and doing what God wants us to do. Look at verse 27 from the book of Judges. I want us to understand where we are. We're going to begin in verse 27, chapter 1, because Israel was given a mandate by God that they were to go in and take over the land. Can you all remember that mandate? So when they went in, were they found faithful? Well, we're going to find out, because we already know the answer to that question, but I want us to look at the Word of God, because the Word of God is the Word of life, not the Word of men, but the Word of God. From the 27th verse, "But Manasseh did not take possession of Beth Shean and its villages, or Taanach and its villages, or the inhabitants of Dor and its villages, or the inhabitants of Ibleam and its villages, or the inhabitants of Megiddo and its villages. So the Canaanites persisted in living in that land. It came about when Israel became strong that they put the Canaanites to forced labor, but they did not drive them out completely. Ephraim did not drive out the Canaanites who were living in Gezer. So the Canaanites lived in Gezer among them. Zebulun did not drive out the inhabitants of Kitron or the inhabitants of Nahalo, so the Canaanites lived among them and became subject to forced labor. Asher did not drive out the inhabitants of Akko or the inhabitants of Sidon or Ahab or Akezib or Haleb or Aphek or Rehob. So the Asherites lived among the Canaanites, the inhabitants of the land, for they did not drive them out. Naphtali did not drive out the inhabitants of Beth Shemesh or the inhabitants of Beth Aneth, but lived among the Canaanites, the inhabitants of the land, and the inhabitants of Beth Shemesh and Beth Hanath became forced labor for them. Then the Amorites forced the sons of Dan into the hill country, for they did not allow them to come down to the valley. Yet the Amorites persisted in living in Mount Heres, in Ajalon, and Shalibim. But when the power of the house of Jacob grew strong, they became forced labor. The border of the Amorites ran from the ascent of Akarib to Selah and upward. Now the angel of the Lord came upon them from Gilgal to Bosh, and he said, I brought you up out of Egypt and led you into the land which I have sworn to your fathers, and I said, I will never break my covenant with you. And as for you, you shall make no covenant with the inhabitants of this land. You shall tear down their altars, but you have not obeyed me. What is this you have done? Therefore I also said, I will not drive them out before you, but they will become as thorns in your sides, and their gods will be a snare to you. When the angel of the Lord spoke these words to all the sons of Israel, the people lifted up their voices and wept. So they named the place Bochim, and they were there they sacrificed to the Lord. When Joshua had dismissed the peoples, the sons of Israel went each to his inheritance to possess the land. The people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who survived Joshua, who had seen all the great work of the Lord which he had done for Israel. Then Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died at the age of 110 and presented the tribute to Eglon, king of Moab. Now Eglon was a very fat man. And it came about when he had finished presenting the tribute, and he sent away the people who had carried the tribute, but he himself turned back from the idols which were at Gilgal and said, I have a secret message for you, O king. And he said, keep silence. And all who attended left him. And I went on well beyond where I was supposed to. I turned two pages. Are you kidding? Did I really? Oh, my goodness, I did. Whew. Let's go back here and pick up where I messed up. From verse 8, then Joshua the son of Nun, servant of the Lord, died at the age of 110. Everybody there? All right, now let's do 9. And they buried him in the territory of his inheritance in Timnah-Heres in the hill country of Ephraim north of Mount Gaash, yeah, this sounds a whole lot better. All the generation also were gathered to their fathers, And there arose another generation after them who did not know the Lord, nor yet the work which he had done for Israel. Then the sons of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served the Baals. That was the end that I needed. Because what did they do? They never followed through. The Israelites were to take possession of the land and drive the people out. They got in there and it was good. And rather than finishing the work that the Lord had given them to do, what did they do? They rested on their laurels and allowed the corruption to stay among them. The work wasn't done, but they had the promised land, so why do we have to do the rest of this? We've got it. Wrong chicken. It still got you. If you don't get it out, it is going to take over. Can I get an amen? It being the presence of sin, it being a foothold of Satan amongst us. When we think about where we are as a society right now, all this last 4 years, how many of you can say it was a living hell? When we think of all the DEI stuff, it ought to be called DIE, because that's what it does, it makes the soul die. Because it is against the will of God. You know, and there's going to be a lot of people out there on internet land that are going to say, oh my goodness, I can't believe he just said that. Why? It's the truth. If you look at God's word, he tells us how we are. He tells us he created them, male and female. Male and female created he them. It's understanding who we are, how we were created, what purpose is. And our purpose is not our purpose, but our purpose is God's purpose. Can I get an amen, church? We understand that. Did Israel understand that? No, because Israel did not follow through with what God had told them to do. If we do not follow through, these things that we allow to stay among us are going to overtake us. That's human history. We can look all through human history and understand that to be the truth. I'm going to quote something to you from a much more famous pastor than myself. This is a direct quote from Billy Graham, and I'm taking this from a World News Daily article that I read just a few days ago. As I'm going over this sermon in my mind and all of a sudden this thing pops up on my computer, it's like, wow, Lord God, you really do know what's going on, don't you? He says, yes, idiot. My God's a good God. I understand I am an idiot, because what's an idiot? An idiot is somebody who doesn't know, okay? And so therefore, he lets me know, and I'm no longer an idiot. I'm fairly intelligent. At least y'all think I am, and now you understand the reality. I'm truly an idiot. He's got to tell me what to say. And thus, says Brother Billy Graham to us, as in the last days of Rome, Christianity to many people today has faded into mere form, lost its relevance to life, and holds no central allegiance in our lives. When a nation loses its faith, it loses its character. When it loses its character, it loses its purpose for living. And when it loses its purpose for living, it loses its will to survive. I am convinced that America stands at the crossroads of her national destiny. One road leads to destruction, and the other leads to prosperity and security. Most are going down the broad road that leads to destruction. We are going the way of Rome rather than the way of the cross. Many will blame the Republicans and or the Democrats, but it is the American people as individuals that should take the blame. We backslide as individuals before we begin to decay as a nation. That's a truth. From a man far closer to God than I could ever get. How do I know that? Because he's there. This man, and most of us respect Billy Graham, understood that man's heart. His heart was to turn a nation to the Lord Jesus Christ. And how many men in our world, how many pastors in pulpits are trying to create their own little kingdom. So I got to say what makes you happy so you stick around. I don't care if you stick around. If you don't stick around, it ain't because of me. It's because you don't like what God has to say. Get over it. I have to every day of my life because I'm a sinner saved by grace. I walk the same way you walk. And I either walk in the light of Jesus Christ or I walk in the darkness of the one who rules this world. Can I get an amen? Because that's the truth of it. And when we do not continue on and cast these things out, we are going to go the way of Rome. Rome fell because Rome became so corrupt and it accepted its corruptness as something that was good. And remember, Rome brought Christianity into itself. And even the church couldn't save it. Why? Because it never followed through. It never followed through. Look where Rome is now. Think about that. In the annals of history, Rome is a disgrace. At one point in time, it was a great and powerful nation. But was it a Christian nation? No. But it accepted Christ, but it only had a form of religiosity. It really didn't follow the tenets of the faith, did it? Because it allowed all the promiscuity and all the thievery and all the debauchery of everything around it only to fall apart, die, and burn. What do you think is going to happen to this great nation if we don't learn from history? Are we not subject to repeat history? Yes, we know that. It is cyclical. This goes all the way back because this is pre-Rome. What we are reading here in the book of Judges is pre-Rome. And Israel fell. Israel had to go into captivity. Israel had to learn a lesson. Are we going to learn the lesson? Brothers and sisters, we don't have that much time left. I'm going to tell you right now, the next stop is going to be heaven if you are in Christ Jesus. But we have got to keep on going where we are if we expect to get there. You cannot sit at the train station and wait for the train because the train has already passed you by. What? Yes, God is constantly moving forward. If you are waiting for where you saw Him 3 weeks ago, He's already 3 weeks ahead of you. We need to keep on the move. We need to understand God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, but we are to be changing the world to understand that. That means we have to be changed. That means our world has to be changed. And what effect has God given to man? But to be that agent of change through the power of the Holy Spirit by the resurrection of Jesus who is the Christ. Can I get an amen? We follow Him. Jesus Christ is not stagnant. He is ever working, ever moving forward, ever bringing eternity into being. And we need to be working with Him. Each and every one of us needs to understand that God is doing something very key in our lives and that we as Christ followers need to understand the Apostle Paul in the book of Ephesians, which is where we're going to turn, find book of Ephesians. We're going to go to Ephesians chapter 4 because as we head to Ephesians chapter 4, it's understanding then that we have work yet to do. And we cannot stop where we are. How many of you would like to stay here? It's comfortable, isn't it? You know, we all like our cushy home. We all like our comfort. You know, we've got our soft king-size bed now. We've got that lazy boy recliner that we've been working for so long. You know, we've got the air conditioning and all that good stuff. Is, you know, things are pretty good. So can't we just sit here for a little while? No. God's not done. There's more to come. There are more people that need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not about us anymore. If we're in Christ Jesus, who's it about? Him. And He's not done. He says, I still have other sheep of other pastures, and I need to bring them. Well, guess what? You're all under shepherds, and you're supposed to be out there helping Him get those sheep in. That includes me. That's why I'm preaching today, to get you off your laurels. I'm glad we have chairs and don't have pews. Do you know why? Because I can't say we stinketh. We have chairs, so we have to get off the chair and work, don't we? If we have pews, we can just sit there and stinketh because you claim the name. But we have chairs, and guess what? At the end of every service, we stack them up so you have to leave because we want you out there doing the work. From Ephesians chapter 4. Now I got to turn there. I was talking too much. Ephesians chapter 4. We're reading the whole book, or the whole chapter, from 1 to the end. That's why I said I got a lot of scripture to go over with you today, because there's a lot here that we need to break into. This is Paul talking to all of us when we're looking at what it means to be the church and how we're to move forward and what we are to do. There's nowhere in here he tells us to stop. Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called. Does that sound familiar, John? Weren't we just talking about the calling back here in the room? Yeah, you guys have no idea what God puts together. And I just laugh because it's like, oh my goodness. How did God know that's what our men's ministry was going to be talking about today? The calling of God. How many of us understand each and every one of us here has a calling? Your calling is wherever you are. God has called you to that place, to Him in that place, to be Christ in that place, that others may see Christ through you. Can I get an amen, church? And in that, we get to move forward, to walk in a manner worthy of the calling which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love. How many of us need to show tolerance to this world? What does it mean to show tolerance to this world? Does that mean we put up with it and don't say anything? No. That means we see it. We see where they are, recognizing we were there once also, but in humility and gentleness with patience, we persevere. That's the next verse. Let's read it. Verse 3. Being diligent to persevere, to preserve, the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That we are to show them that no matter what comes into our lives, we cannot be separated from Christ Jesus. Does that sound right to you? It better, because that's the truth. The world is not to affect us. We are to affect the world. Our tolerance is one of seeing it, living in it, and being Christ in it, just as Christ was in this world. Christ is now in you, and you are in this world. So be Christ in this world. That's exactly what he just said. From verse 4. There is one body and one Spirit, just also as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Everything in this world is created by God. Can I get an amen? Is everything in this world of God? No. But everything comes back to God for judgment. And that's the thing we need to remember, because He is the master of it. So when we read this statement, it's understanding what God is trying to tell us. We're all going to give an answer to whom? To God. There are many people out there who say, well, I don't believe any of that. When I die, the worms get me. Well, that is true. But it's not the whole truth, because the whole truth is we are eternal beings, each and every one of us. And we will spend eternity somewhere. But we get to choose here on this side of the grave where we're going to spend it. In fact, I'm not looking to spend any of it. I'm looking to invest everything on this side of the grave so that when I get on the other side of the grave, I actually have something over there that's worthwhile. Can I get an amen, church? Because we are working on our treasures in heaven by following our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. While I was up at the mountains, I had a gentleman there, and he asked me, what does it mean to store up treasures in heaven? And I told him, I said, well, that's the easiest thing to answer. Jesus told us not to cast our pearls before swine. What's a pearl? Well, it's this little stone, right? You know, they grow inside oysters. Grow inside of clams, I should say. And alone, they aren't worth a whole lot. But if you put a whole bunch of them on a string and put it around some nice lady's neck, how much is it worth? Well, it depends on the quality of the pearls. Well, in God's hand, they're all quality pearls. What are you talking about? What are the pearls in my life? The pearls in your life are saying thank you to somebody that you really don't know. Smiling at somebody. Talking to the waitress at the restaurant. Telling her she did a good job. Telling him he did a good job. Being genuine in front of a fake world. How much of our world is fake? Being Christ in this world in any and every way. I love it when Miss Gloria sends out her cards. How many of you love receiving Miss Gloria's cards? Words of encouragement, words of love, you know, and that's the truth. She's storing up treasures in heaven every time she sends out a card. You know, I love it. You know, how many of you look forward to the bread my wife makes? She doesn't do that to get treasure, but by God, when she gets to heaven, there are going to be so many loaves of freaking bread up there. It's just unbelievable. We won't have to worry about what we're going to eat. I pick on her. That's her way of showing her love for each and every one of you. And you all have different ways of doing it. And you're storing up treasures in heaven every time you do little stuff like that. And when we understand, you know, he said, oh, well, isn't it about paying your tithe? Yeah, you can make it about all the big stuff. But the reality is, where do you love God in the little stuff? Because that's where God's testing you. That's where God's testing you. Are you smiling when it's the hardest thing to do to smile? Are you saying thank you when the hardest thing to do is say thank you? Or are you just growling at everybody like everybody else is growling at you? How many of us need an attitude change? How many of us need to check ourselves at the door? Yeah. I think about this stuff in my life all the time. Paul says that we are to be diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Does that mean our unity? No, that means your unity. You with God. Your holiness. You must preserve it. In other words, you can lose that unity by allowing the world in. We can't stop. We have to keep going. Let's keep going. Through verse 7. But to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it said, when he ascended on high, he led captives, a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. Now this expression, he ascended, what does it mean except that he also had descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is himself also he who ascended far above all the heavens so that he might fill all things. And he gave some as apostles and some as prophets and some as evangelists and some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ. How many of us are apostles? How many of us are teachers? How many of us are prophets? How many of us, you know, we all look at those things and we say, oh no, that's you, pastor. Oh no, that's you elders, that's you deacons. I'm just this lowly person sitting in the pew. We don't have pews, we have chairs. You don't have an excuse to stink in this church. But what we do have is a God who sees us where we are, and he has called us to where we are that we may be the people of God as he wants us to be. If we were all pastors, there wouldn't be anybody in the chairs because we'd all have our own church. Yeah, we'd all be up front. Who would we talk to? Who would we share with? No, he's called some to be these things so that we all may be what we are meant to be. And that is a point that I want to get on to you. that God's call to you is right where you are. Did he call me out of that? Yes, he did. Did he call our elders and our deacons out of that? To an extent, not as much as myself. Because all of our elders and deacons, well, many of our elders are retired, and they're all saying amen. But most of our deacons are still working, aren't they? We still have a couple of our elders who are working. I mean, Brother Ryan, he works hard. He has a young family that he's raising up. You know, Brother Chuck, he's still got a family he's raising up. And then I think of, you know, some of our deacons, like Brother Dennis, he's retired. But that simply means that he gets to afford more to God. Right, Dennis? Amen. When you're retired from the work life, you're not retired from God. Can I get an amen? You actually have more time to give to God. Wait a minute, I don't have enough time to do the things I'm already doing. Isn't that amazing when you're retired? All of a sudden, it's like, how did I ever afford to live? How did I ever have a job? Because God keeps us moving. He does not allow us to stop. He wants us to continue in life. Because life is everlasting. If we are in Christ Jesus, it's not just this life that we get. It's the next life. As we answer our calling and do the things that we're supposed to do to grow up the body to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. That's verse 13. How many of us have reached the fullness of Christ? Man, I nary say not a one of us. So how much more yet is there to do? Oh, my heavens. We have so much to do. And I think about our children. Our children took off for children's church, okay? And there's a lot of folks who say, we don't send the children out. They need to be in that seat. They need to hear what the preacher has to say. They're being taught on their level right now. They're being taught the truth of Jesus Christ. They're being raised up in the manner that they can understand. Can they understand everything that I'm going to say? How many of you adults have a hard time understanding everything the pastor has to say? You know, I think it's amazing. We tell ourselves, they shouldn't be separated. It's not that they're being separated, that they're being taught in accordance with their faith. Because that's what we should be doing with the people who are out there in the world. Can I get an amen? They don't know the things that we know. So do we hit them over the head with the Bible, or do we simply love them where they are to bring them to that place of change? Because we can't change them, only Jesus Christ can. How many of you have raised teenagers? Yeah, you got my point. And for those of us who don't have children, can you remember being a teenager? And just how much you frustrated your parents? We all have to get there. And it takes time to do so. It's a lifetime. It doesn't end, okay? It doesn't end until it's over. And then eternity rolls in. And that's when the judgment comes. So I want us to think about where we're going to see things. Are we going to give up on this nation? Right now, we have had one of the greatest outpourings of the Holy Spirit in our country in a long time. Do you? How many of you believe that's to be true? The people have voted. The people have said, we cannot continue to do this. It's going to destroy our nation. And they've called on the name of the Lord. And the name of the Lord shall be that which is our salvation, Jesus the Christ. But we can't stop. As a nation, we can't stop. As a church, we can't stop. We still have a future to go. And the way it's looking, our future is going to be different than what it is right now. In fact, next week, it's going to be wholly different because we're going to be in a whole nother building. But we'll only be there for 3 weeks, and then we get to see what God actually does. Because it's not only about us, but it's about another group of people too. And what's God going to do with us together? Is God going to take this mishmash mess and turn it into something good and holy? It's my prayer that He does, because when I look out at each and every one of you, I see He took something mishmash and a mess and turned it into something holy. Can I get an amen? Because that's the truth of where we are. You know, it's one of the things that I love about our church. We take serious the Word of God, that it is here to change us. We're not here to change it. It is here. He is here. The Lord Jesus Christ is here. The Holy Spirit is here. God the Father is here. Our Trinity, three in one, is here to change us. He is God. We are not. Amen, church? And as we think about what that means to us, how much more does the world need to hear that message? How much more, as we look at moving to this new place, does that mean we have a whole lot more to do? A whole lot more. You know, I think about it. We're all comfortable here. We got the heat on. We got the fans on, so it's blowing the heat around. We got the 4-inch thick cushy chairs. Y'all happy? Yeah, it's wonderful, ain't it? So why are we going to change something? Because God's getting ready to change us. God's got another story in store. Have you ever noticed God didn't stop within the beginning? But He worked the whole way through this book. And He didn't give it to us all at once. In fact, it took 4,000 years to write this book. God's revelation to us is still coming to us because Christ is still being revealed every day. Can I get an amen, church? Because though we know Him only in part. But then we will know Him, for we will see Him face to face. There's still more in store for us, isn't there? Individually, do you think there's not more in store for our nation? Do you think that there's not more in store for our church? Do you think there's not more in store for the church? Because we can say our church, but does any of us own it? I hate to tell you this. No, it doesn't belong to us. It either belongs to God or it's not God's. But what we do is we come alongside one another, guided by the power of the Holy Spirit, thanks to the Son, by the grace of the Father. Because He is God, and we are not. And in that we have our being, and we move according to His good pleasure. Today, that's where I'm going to end. I got to get my pencil out because I got to mark this down, or you know pastor's going to forget it. Because as we move forward, we're going to see that we are no longer to be tossed around as by the winds and waves of the sea, but that we are to be grown up into the faith that each and every one of us should have. How many of you are there already? I'm not there. And I know that I got so much more to learn, and I want to walk it with each and every one of you. And there's going to be more of us because God is getting ready to do something powerful to our church, just as I believe He's getting ready to do something powerful in our nation if we don't stop. But if we stop, we are doomed to repeat history. We are doomed to repeat history. My question is, as the Church of Jesus Christ, do we move backwards or do we move forward? And it's my prayer that each and every one of us will choose to move forward in Christ, that as we see Him move, we are following Him as quickly as we can. Now, does that mean all of us get there at the same time? Absolutely not. But it means we're to go as best we can. Can I get an amen? Because as we go and we go together, we support one another, and we help one another gain that reality together. Because I'm going to tell you all right now, some of you are stronger in the faith than I am in many things. And you might find that hard to believe, but you're the pastor. You're supposed to. I'm just a man. I am just a man. I have given my life to the Lord. I've given my heart to the Lord. I've accepted the calling that He's placed on me. And it's a heavy calling. But I'm not perfect. How many of you know that? Every hand ought to be in the air. If it's not, let me come talk to you. You'll see just how imperfect I are. Because none of us are there yet. Tomorrow is yet to come. And do you know that there will be a day when there'll be no more tomorrow? But does anybody know what that day is called? Eternity. Because in eternity, there is only forever now. And it lasts forever. I can't wait to get there. Because how many of us worry about tomorrow? You see, God loves us so much, He knows that in order for us to be eternal beings, there can be no tomorrow. There can only be forever now. And in that, we'll find comfort and peace. We'll find hope and prosperity. We'll find together the love of Christ, who is our Lord. And may we say, Amen. Pray with me this day. Father God, as we move in this sermon, because we know we're not to stop but to keep going, there's yet more for us to reveal. Because, Lord God, it's understanding that there is yet more to come. May we, as the children of light, walk in that light and remember that that light is life, for it is your glory shining upon us, and that glory is life itself. So we cannot stop. We must keep going because we are yet growing in Christ. We pray, Father, that you would move in the heart of the church of Jesus Christ, broad and wide, deep and high, that each of us would understand that we are not a finished work, but that we are yet a work in progress. For Lord God, you have so much more for us together, that may we work on that unity, the unity that we have with you, that we may preserve all that we are and yet gain that which is yet to come. For there is more to learn and more to discern. May your power and love guide and keep each and every one of us this day. And may we continue unto the end. In the name of Christ Jesus, and the church says, and amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can locate us on the web at theheartofchristchurch.com. There you will find many useful links to contact us or donate to our ministry, where it is our mission to love God, love others, and go.